Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today on another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to our journey together. Very important subject today, a subject that may get a few folks upset, one that might cause some a little consternation, one that might cause you to think more deeply about what the Bible says and the need to depend wholly on the Scripture. The question that we'll be asking today and answering biblically, Dr. Phelps and I will be talking about the question, is the Pope the false prophet? Is the Pope the false prophet? Now, I understand that's a question that demands biblical answers, and we're going to do that today. And I pray that you're tuned in. If you have others that you feel would be a blessing or benefit to tune in, ask them to do so. Turn the dial, listen to the broadcast, and join in the dialogue and discussion today. And lest I forget it, let me remind you, the telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you directed through to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can have the dialogue and discussion together. I pray that you will be interested enough to answer, ask questions, and get a biblical answer to your question that I believe is so vital today. And as we face the issues, let me remind us, ladies and gentlemen, that we do so based on the authority of the truth of the Word of God. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." And then he follows that up in John 17:17. Where the Lord Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, when we face the issues, we do so from a central biblical standpoint. What does the Word of God say? Because it is truth. It is the fountainhead of truth. It is the foundation of truth. It is truth. It's not a book that you turn to find an occasional truth. The Word of God is truth. In fact, it was George Orwell a number of years ago that says, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." That's what we find taking place today. But I love the quote, ladies and gentlemen, from a theologian and church reformer back in the 15th century, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says this, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And so I don't know any greater, argument or defense of the faith that I could give you today than that we need to study the truth, learn the truth, speak the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo, a full line of landscape and lawn care equipment for the homeowner as well as for the professional landscaper. Tools for Time also carries the hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about landscape equipment or power backup generation equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. And that's located at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road, where the gigantic 165-foot flagpole stands with Old Glory flowing 24/7. If you find the flagpole with Old Glory, the United States flag, flying, the base of that flagpole, you'll find Tools for Time. toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, in Revelation chapter 13, the Bible is very, very clear that there's coming a day when a man that is referred to as the Antichrist, the man of sin, he is called a man of sin, the son of perdition, the wicked one, the lawless one, the little horn of Daniel 7, the beast, the dragon, the old serpent, the devil, and Satan. And he's also called the Antichrist. That means against Christ. And that is found in several places, but the primary place that we focus on, I like to focus on for the essence of it, is in Revelation 13. But ladies and gentlemen, the Antichrist will have one that holds his hands up, one that causes the whole world to follow him, one that will cause the whole world to believe him, one that will cause the whole world to be deceived by the demonic impressions that the Antichrist is the one that will should be followed. It's found in Revelation chapter 13. In Revelation chapter 13, verses 3 and 4, the scripture is very, very clear as it talks about the fact that the Antichrist, the man of sin, the son of perdition, when he steps on the scene, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, let me tuck this in. It is after the rapture of the church. If you're saved, if you've been blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again, you and I won't be here. But it's the rapture of the church that will snatch us out, the sudden seizure, the removing of the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, the church. And by the way, the cardinal text for that, the classic text for that, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, at your leisure study. We're not talking about the rapture of the church today, but I want us to get a little chronology. After the rapture of the church, the man of sin, the Antichrist, will step on the scene, according to Revelation chapter 13, verses 4, 3 and 4, and he will be wounded with a mortal wound. We don't know how. We don't know who will take his life, but he will be slain. And as he is slain, there will be one that will magically, mystically, and by demonic powers, be able to raise him from the dead. And that one, according to Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 and following, is known as the false prophet. The false prophet will be able to call down fire from heaven. The false prophet will be able to do demonically inspired, satanically empowered signs, miracles, and wonders that will cause the whole world to follow the Antichrist. Ladies and gentlemen, I've called this text many times down through the years in preaching and teaching through the book of the Revelation in particular. It is the trilogy. It is just like there's the Holy Trinity. There's the demonic Trinity. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in the Holy Trinity, but you also have an unholy Trinity, and that is Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And that trilogy will be in control after the church is raptured out. The whole world will bow to the Antichrist and the false prophet. The false prophet will look like a lamb. He will look innocent. He will look like a Christian, but he will speak as a dragon, the 11th verse of chapter 13 tells us. And the scripture says in verse 12, and he will exercise all the power of the first beast, that's talking about the Antichrist, before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, that's speaking of the Antichrist, whose deadly wound was healed. It is the deadly wound that's healed, that's the demonically inspired, satanically empowered miracle that takes place that will cause the whole world then to follow after the Antichrist. And that is the drawing card, if you will, for that whole episode that will take place after the rapture of the church. But ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you today, the scripture is very, very clear that we have the signs, the miracles, and the wonders that's taking place today that's pointing to the fact that we're in the last of the last days before the church is snatched out of this old world. The fact that the Bible says the Antichrist will be slain and have a mortal wound, but the demonically controlled, satanically empowered false prophet will raise him from the dead, that's the Antichrist. It is the to be viewed and understood as the sign and the demonic wonders that the false prophet will then be able to cause the whole world to follow the Antichrist. The scripture warns us, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in the last days. And in the last days, we need to recognize and understand that the scripture says that there will be many false prophets coming into the world. In fact, in Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 and 4, it's one of the great warnings that we find in the scripture that Jesus said, that there will be false prophets. In verse 4 it says, "And Jesus answered and said to them, Take heed unto me, unto that no man deceive you. For many," it's the word megos, "many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, etc." And then we'll drop over in that same chapter, the 24th chapter, in verse 24. "And there shall be arise false prophets, false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." And so that's what we're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, the deception that is taking place right in front of our eyes on a global basis with the false prophet, that is the Pope, the false prophet, the Pope, that is waging the warfare of demons and satanically inspired things that is being said today, that I believe would illustrate very clearly that there's the high potentiality that this is the individual, or one that is the foreshadowing of the individual that shall come, that shall be called the false prophet. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in the world of confusion and chaos and calamity today. And this is because we recognize that the Bible warns us that this would be so in the last days. Ladies and gentlemen, I have with me today Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is a professor in the Conservative Theological University, teaching Bible and theology, and the courses that we teach each semester. He's one of the ones that brings it to the students. And I'm delighted to have Dr. Phelps with us today. We're going to be talking about this in kind of a dialogue, running dialogue and discussion format. So you can jump in this dialogue and discussion at any point in time. If something triggers your thought where you need a little clarification, we'd love to answer your question about this very serious subject today, and that is the Pope the false prophet? Now listen very carefully. I'm not saying definitively that he is. I'm asking the question, is the Pope the false prophet? And may I tuck in a little parenthetical footnote to clarify my position on this? I say that the Pope meets all of the biblical criteria for being identified as the false prophet. There could be one that follows him that will be the literal false prophet, but this man is either the literal false prophet, or he's setting the stage for that one that shall step on the scene after the church is raptured out and will deceive the whole world into believing and being seduced into following the Antichrist. Dr. Phelps, I believe that we as believers, I believe that we as Christians need to be aware, alert, and sound the alarm when we see some of the false prophets that we see today in the world. I believe that it's necessary for us to speak up, stand up, and be the watchman on the wall and warn others of what we see and warn others to be very, very careful. As I believe one of the most notable and recognized false prophets today is Pope Francis. By the way, Dr. Phelps, I don't know if you're aware of this, and some of our listeners may or may not be. The Pope is a communist. He grew up in communism. His background is communism. So from a political standpoint, the Pope is a communist. We can't in any way abridge that. We can't circumvent that statement. And I would challenge anyone, any place, any time to refute that and to show me that I'm wrong. He is a communist, politically speaking. And that's why he's pushing the socialism, which is communism light. This is why he is for open borders and wanting the UN to be in control of the United States of America and all nations. This is why he is now pushing the agenda, Dr. Phelps, of climate control. But far more serious is the fact that he is teaching false doctrine, false theology that's antithetical to the biblical truth in any shape, form, or fashion. Many very important cardinal doctrines of the Bible are being absolutely flayed and destroyed by this man today that's traveling the globe and pushing his agenda. Dr. Phelps, before we get into the dialogue and discussion, I'm looking at an article that says, that time I suggested the Pope was a false prophet. And it goes into, this was dated September the 21st of 2019. He says, that is the idea that Pope Francis' actions run parallel with that of the first beast of Revelation 13. I mean, talk about Pope Francis destroying the Catholic Church all you want, but don't you dare state that he could be the false prophet. That's just going too far, as some would accuse. Further, this article says, the idea that he is the false prophet is already out there, and it hasn't really been attacked in the quarters where I've been I've seen it discussed. And it is a conversation that I feel needs to be explored at this point in our development in time. The time has come for people to say it and to recognize it, this writer says. And really, it surprises me to read people being shocked by what I wrote on Sunday night. This refers back to a previous writing of this particular author here. What they expect would happen. After all, this discussion about what Pope Francis has been doing for the past 6 years, what were they expecting to be the ultimate conclusion of what he's saying and doing? Geronimo Phelps, let's get into the nitty-gritty, as I'd call it. Let's get into the dialogue and discussion so that we can open the microphones and ask the people to dial 831-0917, 831-0917, for them to jump into the dialogue and discussion. Let's discuss and analyze, Dr. Phelps, some of the indicators that would cause us to call the Pope a false prophet. Number one, the Pope says that hell does not exist. So, Dr. Phelps, is this a biblical statement? Is it antithetical to the Scripture? How should we see this, Dr. Phelps? How should Christians view the Pope's statement when he says hell does not exist? Does the Bible waver on that? Does the Bible in any way question the existence of hell? What does the Bible say about hell? And did Jesus affirm or confirm the fact that hell is real? So Dr. Phelps answered that question for us. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the question, is the Pope the false prophet? We're going to go through about 8 or 10 different questions of theological concern of things that the Pope has said in the past 2 or 3 years in particular. We want to one by one discuss them. You can jump in at any point of this discussion. One of the first things that I'm talking about today, not necessarily that it's in chronological order or in any order, we're just simply taking them one by one as to the Pope's statements and his declarations and examine it based on the Word of God. And Dr. Phelps is with me, and Dr. Phelps is going to be going back to the Scripture, and we're going to be talking about this. So, Dr. Phelps, does the Pope contradict what the Word of God says about hell?
One of the things I'm convinced about, Dr. Youngblood, is that the Bible is infallible.
Yes.
The Pope is not.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm so thankful that I have a Bible that I consider a book of truth.
Yes.
And we have recorded in the book of Luke, chapter 16, Jesus' commentary about a man, a rich man, and then Lazarus, a godly man, who died. And the Bible tells us that it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he, meaning the rich man, lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham far off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his tongue in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I'll not comment in more on that passage of Scripture, but it is found in Luke chapter 16. And there Jesus is talking about the reality of hell.
Yes. Dr. Phelps, now, and for the benefit of those that's listening that may have heard this statement, there's some that say that that's just mythological, that it's just a myth, that hell doesn't really exist. And they would agree with the Pope. But ladies and gentlemen, I say that when someone says that's just a myth and it's mythological, they have just made a grave error. It is, they're just myth taken.
Yes.
Myth taken, if you will, throughout the Scripture. In fact, Dr. Phelps, I have written an entire book on the subject. The title of the book is The Biblical Doctrine of Hell, and the title of it is Please Don't Go to Hell. Hell is a place of distress. Hell is a place of darkness. Hell is a place of destitution. Hell is a place of debauchery. And I can go throughout the book. I'm looking at a copy of it. Hell is a place of death. Hell is a place of damnation. Hell is a place of ultimate eternal doom. Hell is a place that there is no way out. It is too late, too late, too late for a person to turn around and change. when he's gone to that place called hell. And so we're asking the question, is the Pope the false prophet? And ladies and gentlemen, the first thing that we need to look at is his position on hell. And Dr. Phelps, if he takes the position that hell does not exist, he's just slashed out of the Bible the reality of hell based on the authority of Scripture and based on what Jesus Christ himself says. And so I say with that, he is a false teacher at the very minimum to try to minimize and to reject the theology of that place called hell.
Yes. And in the inspired record we call the Bible, we were told in what we call 2 Peter's writings, his epistles, chapter 2, some things about false prophets and how they introduce heresies.
Yes.
Heresies are false teachings,
yes,
false doctrines, and the teachings that are in error. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord Jesus that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned or pretended words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. So we believe that we live in the age, in the last days, when we're witnessing the work of false prophets.
Yes, and that is very, very dangerous. And I believe that many listeners today need to be aware of the indicators, the markings, and the way that we can determine if a person is true or false, biblically speaking. Well, Dr. Phelps, the next thought that we have. The Pope says that homosexuality is not sin, that if you're homosexual, you need not worry about it. God created you that way. What about that? In fact, Dr. Phelps, I've got an article, and it's about 5-6 pages. I'm not going to try to read it. Published December the 19th, 2019. It says, Vatican publishes a new book reducing the sin of sodomy, and just simply call it the lack of hospitality. And in this article, I'll just read a short paragraph. In what many see as an effort to normalize homosexuality in the Catholic Church, the Vatican has released a new book that reduces the sin of sodomy. And that's the sin of sodomy is found in Genesis 19, verses 1 through 29. And in that text, they simply say it's a lack of hospitality. When the two men came to Lot's door and knocked on the door, and he refused to let them in, it's almost laughable, Dr. Phelps, that it was a sin of hospitality. The article further says, the story about the city of Sodom illustrates a sin that consists in the lack of hospitality with hostility and violence toward the strangers, a behavior judged to be very serious and therefore deserving to be sanctioned with the utmost severity, according to the new book. And so, according to the Pope, and he said it publicly, that homosexuality is not a sin, and now they've even published a book normalizing homosexuality and just calling it was a sin of a lack of hospitality, and that it, because the sin of inhospitality, that as a result of that sin, that it deserved the whole two whole cities to be destroyed. That's a, if it were not so sad, it'd be laughable. But Dr. Phelps, what are some of the key texts that validates that sodomy, homosexuality, is in fact a sin that ought to be dealt with, and it's not just saying that a person was not hospitable?
The scriptures are very clear, not in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament, that God does not favor homosexuality. It's not the will of God. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 tells us, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And in that 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, he speaks of the many, many kinds of sins that people practice who are unbelievers, who are unrighteous. So it's unrighteousness. And the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That ought to be warning enough. But listen, it says, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. To say that it's no worse than adultery, or no worse than murder, no worse than stealing, is not a good argument. It's fallacious kind of thinking.
Yes.
Unreasonable, because all of them will not inherit the kingdom of God. And when you read Romans chapter 1, verse 25 and following, you find that they are those who are said to be involved in vile affections, where the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which is meat. And this, these verses that I've read, then illustrate to us that this is something that God speaks of in the Old Testament as an abomination before him.
Yes, he deals with it in Genesis, it deals with it in Leviticus, it deals with it in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 6, it deals with it in the New Testament in Romans chapter 1, especially, Dr. Phelps, you get to Romans chapter 1, verses 24 through 32. It is the only sin, ladies and gentlemen, that God destroyed two cities as a result of that sin. It's the only sin that God says, and he turned them over to a reprobate mind. So, Dr. Phelps, we're talking about now, and ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the fact that we're asking the question, is the Pope the false prophet? Is it possible that he's the false prophet? And the Pope has said that hell does not exist. The Pope has said that homosexuality is not a sin. And ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Phelps, listen, the Pope has also said that the Bible is out of date and must be rewritten, that the Bible is out of date. So, Dr. Phelps, is there any indication that the Pope is a false prophet? Can this be an indication? Can we trust the Bible? Does the Bible even ever become outdated?
The Bible indicates to us in the Psalm 119, where we read much about the Scripture, that the Scriptures are everlasting.
Yes.
Listen to what the Bible says in Psalm 119:89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And then in the same chapter, verse 152, concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever. And in the book of Matthew, Jesus was talking about the Scriptures in Matthew chapter 25. And we read that Jesus said that my word shall not pass away. Heaven and earth, he said, they pass away, but the word of God is going to last forever.
Amen. One of the grave dangers that I find, Dr. Phelps, is that these false prophets, not only the Pope, but so many of the new, stars within the realm of Christianity or in the religious movement today, finding things that they can say that the Bible has made an error. I like to say, here's a sheet of paper. List all the errors that you think God's made. And when you do, if you're bold enough to write one down, you're saying that you're smarter than God. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the major key elements that a false prophet, he challenges the word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about 1 minute break at the top of the hour news. But we're talking about an important subject today. Is the Pope the false prophet? Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back with the balance of our study today with the question, is the Pope the false prophet?
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.